You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
All right, so you're all familiar with Cam Newton.
Yes, familiar right? with his work.
Yeah.
On that Cam stupid Newton, show way, that you make fun of me that I watch,
mm-hmm.
We Are Family.
Right.
He was one of the... The secret, you had to figure out who it was, and I nailed it, first guess.
But before I even get into this,
yes.
Isn't he starting to morph into, it looks like Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
What, look-wise? What's he doing?
In terms of the look.
Like a Pirates of the Caribbean thing?
He looks like a pirate.
I really get annoyed with people who have the gimmick look. Like a hat they have to wear all the time. It always annoys the hell out of me.
Well, Cam Newton was on something called The Big Pod.
Hmm.
And he said, you know what? We don't really need the Stephen A's of the world. And we don't really need guys that never play telling us what's going on.
Well, we have the cut. Do we have the cut?
Yeah. I'm,
this is on Shaq's pod.
Setting it up, okay, Don?
Oh, you're giving a lot away there.
It's not my first day in the business, all right?
You're not Cam Newton.
I understand.
You
I'm
were
not.
Given. I felt you crossed the line. You gave. Too
I
much
didn't
up.
Cross the line. I
Anthony,
painted a
show
stroke.
Show me something.
Anthony, did I give it away?
I don't think so.
Oh my God! You're like he's not gonna do it. He's not gonna do a thing for you, Anthony. Not a thing. Yeah, everybody think he won't do nothing. Zero.
Jacob.
So Jacob, keep in mind he is going to do nothing for
all
your
right,
career.
Do you think? Do I even give off that kind of vibe that I can hurt people or help people here? Do I give up that vibe at all?
You don't give up that vibe, but when your name's on the show, it certainly does seem like it could happen.
Yeah,
but
I never said you'd hurt them.
Right. But how would, can I help somebody?
I don't know. That's why I keep asking myself, why do they kiss up to you?
Because it's not maybe, gonna,
nothing's,
maybe,
nothing,
maybe I'm
no
right.
Endgame.
Maybe I'm right with these things.
I'd ask Peter, but he wasn't even paying attention.
About which part? Did he give it away?
No, I think he was giving up too much.
And it was. Let's see.
Here's what Cam Newton said.
Here's what Cam Newton said on Shaq.
Here's the answer.
The Big Pod.
We're living in the golden age of athlete-generated content more right. than any other time in sports. People tune in to podcasts. This is a podcast epidemic, damn near. You know what I'm saying? Everybody got it. You get a podcast. But the truth of the matter is people are leaning into receiving their content in a different way, digesting it in a different way. If I want to hear about basketball, I want to hear it from Shaquille O'Neal, respectfully, not Stephen A. Smith. And Stephen A. is a good guy. Am I a fan of Scott Van Pelt? Am I a fan of, the rest in peace to Stuart Scott? Yeah. Do I want to suppress their road to that? No, by no means. But if you're talking about real emotions, real preparations, real feelings, real experiences, you're going straight to the source.
I agree with him, though.
But I agree to an extent. But state-run television is not going to give you the real story. Pravda is not going to give it's not going to give you the real story in Russia. It's just not. It's going to give you their side of the story.
Correct.
So I think that, you want to hear from the athletes. They ain't telling you everything.
No.
They're just not. So that's why there's a balance there. The people like Stephen A. Smith and Scott Van Pelt and Michael Kay and Peter Rosenberg and Donald, we're not going away. First of all, some of the athletes can't direct a show, can't direct a podcast the right way. That's number one. You need a real broadcaster. Number two, just because they said it doesn't mean it's true. They're going to protect their own ass.
I agree with everybody here. Though I 100% agree that sports talk is changing. I've been saying this to you guys. That's why I like when we lean into more fun stuff and messing around, because the truth is, I do think a lot of the hardcore sports fans are going to go to podcasts of athletes instead. I do. Mm-hmm. And I think we have to change our game as a result, because if we're sitting here trying to break, honestly, I mean, the three of us breaking down X's and O's, for example, if you want X's and O's, you go to a football player. They will know X's
sometimes.
And O's. I mean, X. I'm talking about specifically, literally X's and O's. They will know it better. But if you want entertainment and you want harsh opinions and honest takes, and I mean, the athletes all protect each other.
They all protect each other.
They barely, unless they have a personal grievance with someone, and in that case, they're no longer being objective. So while he's right, it is a great time to hear from athletes. I just don't think it's necessarily that good a thing.
You see, the way I took it is that, yeah, Michael's right. You're still going to need somebody to run point. Like on Bart and Han, you know, Bart's the former athlete. He gives his opinions, and obviously you're going to take what he has to say about football more to heart than what Alan's going to say about football because Bart played the sport. But can Bart do a show by himself? Do you need somebody that's been groomed as a professional talk show host to help bring the most out of Bart Scott, be able to throw to break, handle all the interviews? In that situation, you're always going to need a Don LaGreca, a Michael Kay, a Peter Rosenberg, and Alan Han. But what Cam is saying is, the podcast, do you need the professional announcer on a podcast?
Not really.
When you don't have breaks, and you kind of just do whatever you want, and you can ask a 30-minute long question, and no program director is going to tell you, your questions are too long. Hey, so that's the scary part, is the traditional terrestrial radio, the traditional television program. Like even, you know, Tom Brady would go on, but he'd always have Jim Gray as like the guy to ask him the questions, right? You always needed somebody to bring the most out. But on a podcast, could Tom Brady just bring in another former athlete, and him and Gronk can do a podcast and not have to worry about all the ins and outs and throwing the break and how long the questions are and all the things that management's on top of us for? So that's the scary thing, Michael, is not so much are our days numbered on radio. Is radio's days numbered, sports radio, because of the podcast now being the way everybody now wants to consume the information?
Well, it's interesting, though. Our podcast does extraordinarily well around the country, not just here in New York. So, I mean, you could be a radio show and also be a viable podcast. But the thing that I don't necessarily co-sign with Cam, everybody's got their agenda. Everybody. When you hear politicians talk, right? They're going to give their side of things. Not the side, their side. Cam Newton's going to give his side. Anybody who has a podcast that's a player, going to give his side. There are different sides to each story. So I don't think it makes opinion makers like Stephen A. Smith or Scott Van Pelt or the three of us obsolete. And I'm not fighting for it anyway. I'm in the back nine of my career anyway.
We all are.
But no, not Peter. He's 44 years old. But the bottom line is I just don't think everybody's going to tune to athletes because athletes are going to tell their own story. Probably not the story.
It's so interesting you brought up politics because what's happening in politics?
Well, let's not get into it.
Am I sitting on the fence and listening to neutrality and deciding, or am I going to the side that I'm already on to get my information? Sports is no different. Right? Everybody accuses, "Oh, Michael, you're Yankee boy." Right? I don't believe anything you say. You work for the Yankees. So I should. Oh, Don, you work for the Rangers. You worked for the Jets back in the day. You're a Giant fan. Oh, what? You know, Peter, you're a Commanders fan. Like everybody already senses there's an agenda. What happens with athletes, and I think that's why you see a lot of fans siding with athletes, hey, I'm a fan of Shaq, so I'm going to go listen to Shaq. And yes, Shaq is going to give the Shaq opinion, and he's probably going to lean a certain way with his opinions, but if I'm a Shaq fan, I'm probably cool with that. Like, I'm not looking for the other side anymore. I'm looking for my favorite guy. So if I'm a basketball fan and I love Shaq, I'm going to listen to his show. And I don't need somebody to bounce things off of him. I don't need somebody to give the other side. I don't know if people want the other side anymore, Michael.
Well, I think that an athlete could give you an inside view of what's happening, why the decision was made. But people that didn't play the game could tell you, you know what? I don't agree with that. I understand why they say it happened. I don't agree with it because along those lines, what Cam is saying, no one could review movies other than actors. And that's ridiculous. So yeah, Bradley Cooper could do a podcast about movies. And are we going to trust him talking about Maestro? It's his movie. So there are people from the outside looking in that could give you a more nuanced take on it.
Yeah, but here's where I'm talking. Like you bring up the movie analogy. If I want to go and I want to listen to what somebody's opinion is on movies, I'm going to listen to that podcast. Well, then, yeah, you're going to want the yin and yang. But what people are saying is if there's a Goodfellas podcast, because I'm a big fan of Goodfellas, and they have all the former guys from Goodfellas on, and they got Martin Scorsese on, I don't need somebody to tell me the movie's overrated. I don't need somebody to come on that podcast and say, well, let me tell you something. You think the movie's good? I don't think it's that good. That's good back and forth, but if I'm listening to the Goodfellas podcast, I'm probably going to be all in on everything positive. If I'm listening to a Yankee podcast, Michael, do I need somebody coming on and telling me, the Yankees might not be very good this year? Or am I just looking for Yankee content, Yankee pom-poms, and give me Yankee players who are going to talk Yankee stuff? You're talking right about it being neutral and down the middle and trying to get the other side. I'm just wondering, do people want the other side?
For the record, let's just lift it all up. I mean, we talk about that with this show all the time. Does it help our show that we don't act like three yo-yo fanboys? That we try to act like journalists and broadcasters? Does it help us? I don't know.
No, I think it's going the other way.
Yeah, I don't think it helps us. I think when you look around, most of the people who do what we do are screaming fanboys, and that's considered what the thing is now.
And that's why there are Yankee fans that get mad at you, because they expect a certain something from you, and if you give them the other side, they get mad. Now, I would rather be, hey, I want to give everything. I want to give everybody that opportunity. And I think you could do that on radio, because I do think people, not everybody's a Yankee fan that listens to the show. Not everybody's a Met fan. Not everybody's a baseball fan. So you want to try to please everybody. So it's good to give other sides, Michael. But I feel like now we live in such a content world. Do I need to listen to the show that's on the fence, or do I want to listen to the show that is in my backyard, that believes what I believe, that roots for the team I root for, that has the sensibilities that I have? And if that's what you're looking for, then the players are going to be able to give that to you better than the guy that's not an athlete.
We live in a very segmented society where everybody could choose what they want to listen to,
right?
Whatever flavor they want. I mean, let's bring it to politics again. A lot of conservatives listen to Fox. They don't go to MSNBC. A lot of liberals go to MSNBC. They don't go to Fox. So people are tuning in to the news they want to hear, not necessarily the news
that's right
or what's really, really happening. They want their opinions rubber stamped, but I think there's room for everybody. It's like when Don and I grew up, we had Channel 2, Channel 4, Channel 5, Channel 7, Channel 11, Channel 13. That was it. Those were your choices. That was it. Then cable came around. Now you literally have thousands of avenues of entertainment. That's why, except for the NFL, all ratings are fragmented now. Baseball doesn't get 30 million people watching it anymore. They might get 10 for a World Series game. 11. Only football has survived that. So Newton makes a point, but I don't think everything else is obsolete. If you want to hear from a player, go to a player podcast. If you want to hear something else, you want to get some laughs, if you want to get an objective take, you tune into these sorts of shows. That's your choices.
Well, speaking of people who actually do journalism and takes, from all the way from Saudi Arabia, we're going to talk to Ariel Helwani at 4:30. Get his take on the Jake Paul Mike Tyson.
4:30. Yay! So that's 17 minutes from now.
That's right.
Yeah.
Just locked him in.
Wow. What time is it out there?
Saudi Arabia's like 7-8 hours ahead, something like that.
Oh,
he's up there working, right? Am I wrong? You think I'm off?
Well, you just guess 7-8 hours ahead?
Let's see. What time is it in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia? It's 12:13 a.m. This guy's up.
See, he's probably loaded right now.
No, he doesn't do anything.
So it is. You
man
know.
Is not a partier.
8 hours.
At all.
Have you ever met the man?
Ariel's not a partier.
Ariel.
He just, no partying. His idea of like a great time is...
I love Ariel, by the way, in The Little Mermaid. He was unbelievable.
No. You're confusing him with a...
Ariel?
Ariel, who's a mermaid.
Oh, sorry.
This is an acclaimed MMA and boxing journalist.
See,
I thought
it was...
And a Canadian.
Like Don would love to be.
Big expo guy.
They huge. Don't exist.
So that part of his life, he just...
But well, how can you be a big expo guy? So
I'm just telling you, if you get bored with the interview and you want to ask about Tim Wallach and Hubie Brooks and Ellis Valentine, he will sit...
Steve Rogers, you think he's going to have?
He's going to have everything right there.
All right, Gino from the Bronx wants to take a little slap at Peter, and I love that.
Oh.
Hey, Gino.
All right. So I'm not going to disrespect Peter, but I'm going to disrespect him.
All right. Perfect. Love it.
Love that stuff.
Listen, so I'm only saying because I've watched every single Penguin game since Mario came in the league. Peter, you probably only watched 3 or 4.
Whoa.
But anyway, I mean, this year.
Oh, this year? Anyway. You're being generous with 3 or 4, thank you.
No.
Why do you watch everyone, Gino? You're a big Penguin fan?
Yes.
Okay.
So
How do you put that together, Mike?
Very bright.
Yeah, go ahead.
You were talking about Sid and Gensel. I don't think there's any shot they trade him to the Rangers, Gensel. And with Sid, he's still playing at an elite level.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a class act. The trade Sid rumors, that's a social media thing, basically started by, you know, because I wouldn't mind, because he owes Pittsburgh nothing.
No, right? He's given enough.
He's given enough. But he's such a class act. He'll finish in Pittsburgh.
I think
and
you're right.
If he was going anywhere, mm-hmm. it would only be to Colorado.
I agree with that.
Colorado? Why Colorado?
Because I think Colorado's close to winning. It's the Western Conference. Nathan MacKinnon, they grew up in the same area, well, not the same time, but you know that would make sense.
Who are you talking about, Don? Who are you talking about when you said 21 goals? I was calling, so I missed that.
Oh, Ovechkin. I said Ovechkin kind of fell off the cliff. Sid's having a tremendous year.
About Malkin, right? Malkin's washed. He's finished.
Yeah, it feels like it. But you agree, they gave him the contract. They had a chance to get out of Letang and Malkin and didn't because of Crosby.
No, they doubled down.
So that's why Sid will stay, because he was a big reason
right.
that they brought those two
But if
guys
they went,
back.
If you don't think if they went to him and said, listen, I think it would really help us if we traded you away. Colorado's going to offer us something that can help us rebuild. I think if he felt they were on board and they could improve, I think he'd agree to go.
No, I just think he's such a class act that he wouldn't do it. And
yeah, but if they asked him, like I agree with you, Gino, that he would not ask for the trade. But if they said to him, "Let's do this,"
I just don't see him. I just don't listen. The building was half full the other day.
Right.
I just don't see him doing that with Sid. He's a all time great, still playing. If he was playing with anybody, they're a one line team, right? So if their line don't produce, they get nothing. And if he left, they're starting to rebuild. I just don't see him doing that, especially with
I don't think it's going to happen. But if you are going to try to rebuild, Michael, it's those types of moves that sometimes you have to make.
Do they still call him the kid, or is he like the middle aged man now?
He's always the kid. Still a thing.
I guess Ted Williams was the kid.
I mean, relative to life, by the way, he's still a kid.
No, he's not. Not at 38.
Yeah, but I mean, you're born in 87.
What would you do to be 38?
I'm very happy at 63.
You wouldn't go back?
I would love to go back so I'd have more years, but I'm just as vibrant at 63 as I was at 38.
But relative, it's a kid.
It's not a kid. No, you're not a kid at 38. Charlie's a kid. Marco's a kid.
Well, fine. What about Rocky?
Rocky's not a kid.
No, listen, he wears 87 because he was born in 87. Connor McDavid's 97 because he was born in 97. He's 10 years older than Connor McDavid, for God's sake.
Crazy.
He's not a kid anymore, but the nickname
Sid
sticks.
The kid.
Well, Gary Carter was always the kid.
You're right. Just wondering. Well, not to jump me.
No, but
John, I conversation.
Really,
and by the way, now let's rewind the tape. Did I give away the answer to that?
You were on your way.
I stopped. You said I had given it away.
You started giving
did
information.
Did I give it away?
You were on your way.
But you're saying I was on my way. I know exactly what I'm doing.
All I know
I'm
is
very
when,
good at
when,
this.
When there is an individual who is giving the information, you just introduce them, man.
You're not Cam Newton.
You're not Cam Newton. Cam Newton gave all the information. So why do you have to preview it if he's giving you all the information?
I'm setting it up like a pro does.
Hey, you know, Peter, something interesting was said today by Cam Newton. Let's hear. And then he tells you the story. It's all about you, and it's the Michael K. Show,
I don't
and I
got to
set it up.
No,
are you going to defend me this time?
In this case, I'm with Michael. I don't think he gave too much.
No, of course you are, because I'm sure there's something. I'm sure there's something on the side going on.
Something on the side. Yeah, he's going to become one of the analysts on Yes.
Yeah, I you know what?
I don't know. All I know is that him and Flip, talk about Flip, killing him about not wearing a collar, and now they're like best friends.
Yeah, but now, you know what? Flip won out because he's one of the best dressed people on radio.
Yeah, I'm wearing a quarter zip like Peyton Manning.
But it had nothing to do with Flip.
No, I think Flip got to him.
I wonder what Flip thinks if he turns on the show. Does Flip see me with now the glasses and the quarter zip and think, look what I did? I wonder if he feels that way. Does he even know we're still on?
No, he might think that I didn't realize they moved Peter out and brought in somebody else.
Right.
No, because when you look at, again, you killed me for back in the day. When you first took over, you're a different human being. The way you dress, the way you look.
The way you vape.
That wasn't when I first came in.
You go back to, what was it, the spring of 16?
Oh,
or the, whenever it was? I mean,
no, Ray was right. That's the best, it's the best age take of all time.
Yeah, but where is he?
We don't know. But when he called me a sloppy pig.
He was right.
He was right. Yeah. I was wearing a t-shirt. My beard had no lineup. I was a mess. I was eating ice cream.
Well, you still eat on the air, consume on the air.
How often?
It's not nearly as bad.
If you do it once, it's bad.
You've done it.
Once?
No, but you have.
You do it a lot.
Don, do I
do it? You shake the ice in your drink.
I think.
That happened
different.
What? When did that last happen?
You eat as much as he does on the air.
Thank you.
No, I don't.
Thank you.
No. You know what? Why don't you get a hold of yourself? Stop turning on me.
Oh, my God.
We've been together for a long time.
You have little power bars. You got an empty wrapper right in front of you.
But I didn't eat it on the air.
I know, but there's...
But recently, it happened.
I'm
recently.
Not even going to ask on the other side of the glass, because they're suck-ups. But how many times have you heard Michael open a segment, Peter, and clearly there's saliva in his
don't
mouth?
Don't we have audio? Isn't there audio of Michael
there's
doing
Peter
something?
There's Peter eating ice cream. Look at him. Look at that sloppy
That's
pig.
A different
Look at
that
sloppy pig. If you said that was your
Look
brother
Look how much hair I had, though.
Oh, it's awful.
That's your brother Paul. People would have believed it. That's not the same human being I'm looking at right now.
No, the difference between that guy and me are like when they, it's like Steve Urkel. You know what I mean? It's like on a TV show, on a sitcom, when you have the fake twin brother.
Urkel.
And Urkel.
But that was the brother.
Oh, okay.
That's the thing they do on
sitcoms. What was the last name of the brother?
I don't know.
That's weird.
You're really trying to extricate yourself from this. It's not working.
What do you mean?
You made a mistake.
What? Urkel?
Yeah.
No, Jacob, is Urkel a thing?
No, it's a thing. I just don't know why they made that mistake.
I don't remember.
I thought the difference was Stefan and Steve. Like I thought.
Yeah, they didn't change the last name.
It wasn't his last name too.
So this is all made up.
It was just Stefan. It wasn't Urkel.
Yeah, I think it was Stefan.
I think he went by Stefan Urkel. Maybe I'm wrong.
Hey, speaking of Yes. On Yes tonight at 6:30 of the Nets and the Pistons pregame show.
Throw out the record.
But then at 6:30, only on the Yes app, exclusively on the Yes app. You've got the Yankees and the Tigers tonight on the Yes.
Wait, this is a rare Detroit.
Yeah.
You throw out the record books.
That's right.
Wow.
Brooklyn,
it's
Detroit,
all Detroit,
New York, Detroit.
I don't want to be that guy, but I'm going to. Because I do pre and post.
Right.
But to do a 30-minute pregame on Nets Pistons, give me like Nets trivia or something. Like, give me a documentary on Dr. J. Like, I just...
But you don't think it's good to have Isola on?
Have Isola host the Dr. J documentary. He can't be the quiz master on Nets trivia?
They've got a chance in a playoff.
Yeah.
You're playing the Pistons. This is more of a referendum on the Pistons than it is the Nets. I'm just saying that if I'm a Net fan, am I going to watch a 30-minute preview of Nets Pistons or Nets trivia? Or get a nice little something with a sit down with Dr. J.
Honestly, they should just rerun the Ray call 4 times. That's content.
How about a
now
best,
you're programming Yes.
Yes. How about a best of the K show Nets version?
Ooh.
Where we take all the things we've talked
but
about
now
the Nets.
It hasn't been positive though.
That's fine.
But Don, you're taking, you of all people, pre-post, you're taking money out of Frank Isola's pocket.
No, but Frank runs point on all this.
Oh, what about Bob Lorenz then? And Chris Sharon and Nancy Newman. What are you doing?
I would almost bet my salary.
Right.
That they're on salary. They would enjoy the day. I get them on. I'm sure Bob Lorenz would be like, Don is making some salient points. I could sit down, watch a movie with my wife tonight, take her out to dinner.
Donna is her name.
Oh, really?
Yep.
He's lovely. A very good person.
He's great. He's great at what he does, too.
Yeah, and he deserves a night. He doesn't.
So this is the night you give him.
He doesn't deserve to host a 30-minute pregame on Nets Pistons.
Would you give like stuff like the microwave, Vinny Johnson, all that, and Adrian Dantley? Or it would be Net centric.
No, it's the Net centric. It's the Yes Network.
Nice, interesting. All right, so when we come back, we're going to go to what is it, Saudi Arabia?
That's right, yeah, Riyadh. Yeah,
where it's late.
After midnight. Is that?
We're gonna let it all hang out.
I thought you were doing Thriller.
No, if I did Thriller.
It's after midnight.
Can you moonwalk? I can.
No, you can't.
I can moonwalk.
Really?
All right. When we come back.
No, let me do it right now.
All right. Yeah, I want to say this.
You really
want to
do
this?
On,
yeah.
Like, people aren't going to be able to.
Yeah, climb up on the desk.
Let me see this.
Why are you doing this? It's a bad idea.
It's also out on a rug.
That's not bad. That's not bad.
It was nothing, Don.
I was expecting less.
You're expecting less?
Less
would have been he just dropped dead on the floor, and that's it. End of story. Say goodbye to Michael.
Now, if the net pregame had that,
now
there are 3-point percentage shots during Thursday games.
That's content right there.
Come on.
You think you get better numbers if I did the moonwalk?
Oh, man, you kidding me?
I'm just saying, I think those guys that work is their tails off on that broadcast deserve better. You've said it yourself.
I never said that. That they deserve better?
That like Iron Eagle?
Okay.
That's not the the Mona Lisa in the garage?
Doesn't matter. He's one of 30 play-by-play guys.
I don't think he's complaining.
No.
I'm just saying, if I was programming, yes, you'd
see different things. So you wouldn't even show the game?
No, I'd show the game. We're obligated contractually to show the game. I'm just saying a 30-minute break. Listen, I've been in those situations. I did two-hour post games on like Jet 9-0 losses. Believe me.
Anyway,
I would rather do anything else than that.
Let me do it again. 6:30 net pregame on Yes. 7 o'clock game, Nets and the Pistons. And then a Yankee Yes app exclusive spring training game, Yankees-Tigers. It starts at 6:30.
Sure.
And we're going to have Ariel Helwani come on in just a moment to talk Tyson against Paul. But first, Don's going to talk about bathtubs.
Don LeGrecker here to tell you about my friends at Bath Fitter. They remodeled my mom's bath, did an awesome job. The process was easy. One expert installer, even with the customization she needed for a cast iron tub. It's done in one day with no demo or mess. It's a beautiful, high-quality, permanent solution. Bath Fitter provides a lifetime guarantee. 3 million happy customers like my mom for a limited time get 0% interest or save $500 on a complete Bath Fitter system. So start designing your bath today at bathfitterdesign.com. There's only one Bath Fitter.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Our opening story today was about Mike Tyson getting back in the ring. And I guess it's an exhibition. It's not going to be sanctioned against Jake Paul. And Peter, really, he combs the earth to find guests that fit the talking points. And Peter, you've done just that.
Well, that's right. Well, I could wax poetic about Mike Tyson all day, but I want someone who knows the nitty-gritty of everything when it comes to the fighting world. And in fact, a man who's on the ground in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, because tomorrow they expect the ring walk to probably be around 5 p.m. Eastern time. We're going to get Francis Ngannou and Anthony Joshua. And our friend Ariel Helwani is there covering the fight and wanted to get him on the line to talk about the Tyson-Paul story. What's up, Ariel?
Gentlemen, how are you? I like that you called me your friend, Peter, because you guys don't text, you don't call. I was starting to wonder since it's been like 4 years since I've been on. So I'm happy to hear you still like me. You really like me.
And you know what? I would text, but I don't have your number. So it's hard to just text
well,
into
you,
the
Ariel,
air.
Well, you told me don't give Michael my number.
No, that's not true. When I was a little kid, I used to watch the Knicks postgame show on MSG, and I would see Michael sitting there in that little like closet next to my heroes, and all I thought was, how do I get that job? How do I get to be as cool as Michael K? So even when Michael takes the subtle shots, I know he's not a combat guy, and says, combs the earth like I'm some dreg of society. You guys are just filling airtime.
That is not it at all.
Going on. Even when he takes that subtle shot, it's still an honor. I'm happy that you're taking that subtle shot.
Wow. You know what? Those days with Al Trawick, they were beautiful days, and I would never take a shot. And also, Ariel, I don't do subtle. Peter will tell you that.
That's right. He likes it.
I'm like a hammer.
Yeah, believe you me. So, Ariel, I want to ask you about your thoughts on the Ngannou-Joshua fight tomorrow, too. But first of all, were you surprised? Did everybody know the Paul Tyson thing was going to happen? Take us through how we got here.
No, it completely came out of left field. I was just in Puerto Rico last Saturday watching Jake Paul fight a guy by the name of Ryan Borland, 17-2 going into that fight, and Paul just completely annihilated him. He won in less than a round. It was like 2 minutes and change. Second time in a row that he fights someone that no one's really heard of,
They didn't really do the big Paul press machine leading up to these two fights. It's almost like they were knockouts that you put in your music montage leading up to the real fight.
That's fair. I think that's fair. This particular fight last weekend in Puerto Rico was more about Amanda Serrano, who, of course, reps New York but has Puerto Rican, heritage, and it was a huge homecoming fight for her. Unfortunately, she didn't end up fighting, but they sold it out, $1.5 million gate. It was a pretty big deal. And so, yes, it was a highlight reel type of thing. They were trying to build him back up. And, now kind of putting the pieces together, building him back up for this moment. This has been in the works for quite some time. It's not like it came together today or yesterday. They had the promo and all that stuff done. And this is a really big deal on multiple levels. I know a lot of people are focusing on the Tyson thing, and rightfully so. But this is Netflix's first foray into live combat sports. I know the WWE deal is starting in January of 2025, but no one saw this coming. Is this Netflix just dipping their toe in the water? Is this a one-off? Or is this Netflix saying to the ESPNs and the DAZNs and the Amazons of the world that we're coming, Apple as well, we're coming for live sports? Because as you guys know, live sports is the only thing that's left as far as appointment television is concerned. If Netflix, which has the biggest, platform there is as far as streaming is concerned, 260 million subscribers. If they're in the game now, too, it's a game changer.
All right, so, Ariel, let me ask you this. You've seen Jake Paul fight many, many times. Do you think Tyson has even a scintilla of a chance to win?
Oh, 100%. Jake Paul is 9-1. I would still consider him somewhat of a novice. He's a lot better than a lot of people give him credit for. And even the last two fights that we were just talking about, those are the types of fights that Canelo, Crawford, Tyson Fury, all the best boxers in the world are fighting when they're 8-0, 9-0. But he gets held to a different standard because he's famous, he's coming from YouTube, he talks a big game, etc. But you know how it is. Guys will fight, quote-unquote, cans for the first 20 fights in boxing. So no different. Mike Tyson, we last saw him in the ring in November of 2020, and he had a quote-unquote exhibition with Roy Jones, but he actually looked fantastic. Now, I understand that was 4 years ago, or, by the time this fight happened, a little less than 4 years, but still, he actually looked amazing for his age. Do I feel a little bit uncomfortable with the 30-year age gap? Of course. And the rules and the stipulations have yet to come out. We don't know if it's an exhibition. I think the fact that it's happening in Texas makes me think that it actually won't be an exhibition, but we don't know. Texas is known to be a commission that is a little bit lenient when it comes to these things.
Shocking.
We don't know how many rounds. We don't know what the weight is. There's still a lot up in the air at the moment. But, it's kind of surreal to see these two guys on the poster together.
So if you believe Tyson can win, is Paul's career over if he were to lose this? Where would he go from there?
By the way, hello to you, Don. I didn't even know you were here. You weren't talking.
Wow, the name throws you off. I get it. I appreciate you. And Michael's got some expo questions to ask you before it's all over.
Don, I love your brother, by the way. He does a tremendous job with the wrestling. Way better than Peter, if I'm being honest.
Wow.
I brought you on. I'm the reason you're on.
Wow.
I didn't know Peter was there. Sorry. Peter, you do great. Had me on your pod in forever, though.
So that is true. The Rock didn't rip Peter during his promo.
That's a great point.
That's a good point. No, it would be a major blow. But again, you know, right here in this country, which I'm calling you guys from Saudi Arabia, last year, Jake Paul lost to Tommy Fury and everyone said he was done. And he's won three fights since. So he has a tendency to, you know, as the great Roddy Piper once said, how about this segue? Just when you think you have all the questions, he seems to change the answers. So I wouldn't rule him out, even if he loses this fight on July 20th.
But my feeling on this, Ariel, and obviously I'm a big Tyson guy, I believe physically Mike will be okay. I choose to believe that he'll handle this fine from a physical standpoint. So I see this as a real win-win for him. I mean, Mike's going to get a huge bag of cash, and he probably won't win, but if he does, what a beautiful exclamation point on his career. Mike hasn't had a meaningful win in 25 years. He hasn't had an actual win on paper in almost that long. So I don't know, man. How do you see it? I see it as a real win-win for Tyson. I don't think there's any downside if he loses to Jake Paul, who's 30 years his younger. What's the word I'm looking for? His junior?
There you go. They found it.
Yeah. Yes, 100%. I mean, anyone who's close to 60, I feel a little bit uncomfortable with fighting. But again, he's not fighting, you know, a top. He's not fighting Anthony Joshua. He's not fighting Tyson Fury. He's not fighting a top 10 heavyweight. And I think it's important to note that Jake is nowhere near that. And also, Jake typically fights at a cruiserweight and not heavyweight. So that's why I'm curious what the weight is going to be. So, yes, I am very curious as to what the rules are. But again, it's Netflix. It's huge for his career. It's huge for Jake's career. If this was just like a regular pay-per-view fight, you know, I would be like, man, $60, this and that. But it's going to be free. It's not right. On pay-per-view on Netflix. Like, if you're a Netflix subscriber, you get this fight. And I'm very curious also as to what they're going to do on the undercard. Are they going to use this as an opportunity to build actual young up-and-coming talent or other stars? I think that would be the smart play because so many people, this could arguably go down, you know, by the time it happens, as the most watched fight in the history of fighting, period, given the subscribers that have Netflix all across the world. So very curious to see. And to your point, I think most people our age, and I'll include all of us in this discussion, are going to watch this maybe with their hands over their eyes and say, come on, Mike, please don't let your lasting image in a ring be a knockout loss to Jake Paul. And I think a lot of people are going to want to will Mike to win this just so it doesn't end up that way.
You know, we talked about this at the beginning of the show, and Ross Greenberg, the legendary executive producer of HBO, called in, and then we asked him, what do you think that these fighters are getting? And he said he would guess $20 million apiece. Is that what you're hearing?
I haven't heard the amount, but that doesn't surprise me at all. And Ross had certainly been in the fight game for a long, long time. It's 1,000% in the seven figures. The question is eight figures and then high, you know, how high up into the eight figures are we talking? But this is a really, really big deal. There's no doubt about it. And to Peter's point, Mike Tyson isn't doing this for a small bag. He's doing this for a big bag. There's no doubt about that.
So it's very late there. You have to get some beauty sleep because tomorrow's the big day. I do not remember the last time there was a meaningful heavyweight bout on a Friday. But that is what's happening tomorrow on DAZN here in the U.S. We'll get Anthony Joshua and Francis Ngannou. And I'm curious for your thoughts. I see Joshua is a heavy favorite. I after what I saw from Ngannou in the fight against Fury, Ariel, and I know you were very impressed by him, I kind of think he's got a better shot than he's been given by Vegas. How do you see the fight going down tomorrow night?
I couldn't agree more. I'm captivated by this. That's why, you know, I was excited to get the assignment. Francis is one of the greatest stories in sports. It's a shame more people don't talk about him. This is a guy who used to dig sand mines as a youngster in Cameroon for $1 a day. Saw Mike Tyson, actually, fittingly enough, on TV, you know, 10, 11 years old, and says, I want to be that guy. And so when he gets a little bit older, he leaves Cameroon and he gets on a raft and he goes from Cameroon to Nigeria to Algeria and tries to make his way over into Europe, but he continues to get arrested. He continues to get found by, you know, the Coast Guard and put in jail. And he keeps failing and coming back, failing and coming back. Eventually, he enters France. He's homeless for a year, living in a parking garage, and finally finds a gym, which he thinks is a boxing gym, that ends up being an MMA gym. And so the coach who's there, Fernand Lopez, says, oh, yeah, I could turn you into the next great MMA heavyweight. So he goes down that path, becomes UFC heavyweight champion, but always wanted more and wanted to become Mike Tyson. So now he fights Tyson Fury in October. He shocks the world. I thought he won that fight. And now
you were wrong, but he was very good.
Pro boxing.
I just said you were wrong. Can you believe that?
No, it's crazy. And he even knocked him down in the third. At worst, there was a draw. At worst. In any event, now he's fighting the third best heavyweight on the planet in his second pro boxing bout. It's absurd. The man doesn't know what impossible means. He just goes out there. He's been through so much already. None of this fazes him. He's very confident. The boxing media, the boxing pundits, they still don't trust him, believe in him, and I think they're making a mistake. Ultimately, does he win? Who knows, but I think it's going to be a close fight. I think it's going to be a fascinating fight. I can't wait to see, and it's going to be a Friday afternoon fight over in America. So, Michael, what else would you rather do on a Friday afternoon at around 5 or 6 than watch two behemoths go toe-to-toe? In the words of the great Gorilla Monsoon, this is the second coming of WrestleMania 3.
There you go.
Pontiac Silverdome, the irresistible force,
yes,
the immovable object going toe-to-toe. This is it right here. Come on.
I think I'd rather do this show.
Yeah.
But, you know. Before I let you go, so you're in Saudi Arabia right now. It's midnight, or past midnight. Do they have, like, King of Queens there, friends? I mean, can you turn on the TV and see American stuff?
Absolutely. And they've got, like, Shake Shack here and Raising Cane's and Domino's. It's becoming a lot more westernized. I wasn't sure what to expect. And there's still a lot. Alcohol is illegal here. And I think it was only 5 years ago that women were allowed to drive. So, you know, a lot is changing and there's a lot more that needs to change. And there's a lot that we can get into as far as the history in the past. But what they have done, you know, in the world of football, soccer, and in the world of golf, they're viewed as disruptors. They're viewed as the guys who are taking the stars away from, like, the regular circuit, if you will. In the world of fighting, they're viewed as saviors. They're putting together fights that weren't being made because of politics and promoters not wanting to work together. So it's really interesting to see the juxtaposition of how fans and those sports feel about what they're doing here. Nevertheless, they are huge fight fans. They're making big fights, and, you know, that's good for fight fans all across the world.
Let me just tell you this, okay? When I was younger, covering the Yankees, and I was in a city, and, you know, you could get Domino's delivered. You order Domino's right now before you go to bed, Ariel, right? And then put a steaming hot Domino's on your chest and just sit there and watch TV and just eat slice after slice. You'll love it.
That's the dream, right?
Yeah, that is. I live the dream.
But Ariel,
after that, I mean, what
but
more?
But you have to understand the details here. Michael claims that he would put the actual pizza on the chest, not just the box.
Right.
The pizza.
And then I have to pick out the hair on my chest out of the cheese.
Yeah, it's really disgusting and disturbing.
Why'd you say that? I want to have him on again.
Yeah, well, I like
you. You know what? Ariel knows how to play, and he knows. He idolizes me. He said he does. So
obviously he likes this, too.
Yeah.
Ariel, you still idolize him?
No, absolutely. I respect a man who is comfortable enough to say that. actually, if I'm being honest, my respect for you has actually grown tenfold. What? A lot of people would shy away from that, sugarcoat it.
No, I embrace it.
Leaning into it.
I embrace it. I embrace it.
Yeah.
Enjoy the fight tomorrow. Thanks for coming on.
All right, Ariel. Be safe, man. Have fun.
Thank you. Yeah, and when the Expos come back in like 15 or so years, I could come on again then. So just let me know.
All right. It's a date.
We look forward to it.
All right. Perfect.
Hey, this is Michael Kay letting you know that employee pricing is back at PC Richard & Son. Yeah.
Oh, thank
you.
God.
Pay what their employees pay.
Wow.
Not a penny more on washers and dryers, refrigerators, ranges, all home appliances. Employee pricing on select Sealy mattresses, too. Plus, fast and free delivery. It's PC Richard & Son's way of saying thank you for supporting their local family-owned business. Employee pricing, going on now.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network. All lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Well, it's time now
music
for the Hoop update.
That's right.
Driven by Nissan.
Now time for Nets trivia.
I'll tell you what, man. I'm sorry.
What's that?
The James Harden deal didn't age very well. Ben Simmons out for the remainder of the year again. I mean, wouldn't it have been, everybody jumped on me when I said, wouldn't it have been better to make Harden play and leave as a free agent? Isn't it better rather than having this albatross contract?
I think somebody had a big article about that today. I forget where I saw it.
I didn't see that.
But they were thinking the same way as you. Might as well just wrote it out.
It makes sense because Harden has some pride. He wouldn't have played terrible. He certainly would have played better than Ben Simmons is playing. Well, and I'm not doubting Ben Simmons.
It's not even about playing better. He's playing.
And I'm not doubting Ben Simmons' injury. I mean, there's something wrong with his back. But it is an... We talk about, like, bad deals in sports history. That's one of them, baby. I mean, you got James Harden, who's going to the Hall of Fame, and you traded him to a division rival.
Right.
For Ben Simmons, who can't play, can't stay on the court, cannot play.
Well, the thing that probably doesn't make that deal that awful is that Harden's not even in Philadelphia. You know, because Harden probably would have asked out at some other point, too. It's still a horrible deal, don't get me wrong.
Simmons has played 57 of a possible 190 games
ridiculous.
Since the trade.
And you know I'm not very good at math, but that's way less than 50%.
Yeah, it's almost 25%.
Good job, Don.
But
oh my!
And the Nets still have a chance. The Nets, of all the teams that have a chance at the playoffs, have the second easiest schedule in the NBA. But are they good enough to take advantage? Do they go in and do they beat Detroit tonight?
Well, if they don't, Michael, they're only how many wins do they have with Ollie? Just the one?
Three. I think they have three now.
Because they lost.
They've won three of four.
No, that's right. They were losing until they right. swept Atlanta.
Right.
And then they had the
then they lost
win
to the Grizzlies.
They beat Philadelphia.
Right, and then they beat Philadelphia. Right.
But I wouldn't say that the move at coach worked.
No, I mean, it's a cover your backside move.
All right, 12 games under .500. You know, you're in, but it's the play-in.
No, like, so what?
Look at these. I know, but yeah. Peter, you know what I'm saying? Are you really in? Like, you're in the play-in, but are you really? What are you doing? Look at the teams that they're around them. You know, the Hawks are that ahead of them at 28-34. God, everybody from nine downs under .500. I mean, I'm sorry.
No, it's a cliff after eight.
No, but you get the play-in, and I get you're trying to make the regular season games mean more and all that, but you got a bunch of under .500 teams competing for what? There's no Miami there. None of these teams are making a run.
Also, the Knicks, some good news today. OG Anunoby is playing 5-on-5 in practice.
That's what they're saying.
So, we shall see. Have some college news. In a battle of top 10 teams, second-ranked UConn defeated 8-seeded Marquette on the road, 74-67, for their first top 25 road win in a decade. That's hard to believe.
For the team that's the consensus number one.
That's odd. That was the Hoop update driven by Nissan, coming at you with all of the excitement of a Hollywood blockbuster at the Nissan Thrill of the Drive sales event. Shop impressive savings at NissanUSA.com.
You know what's very underrated about Dave Rothenberg?
Tell me.
Maybe you know this. His incredible in-depth knowledge of college basketball.
Yeah.
Like, we think about him as being a giant guy and a Met guy and a maniac. But he knows his college hoops, well, man. It's big crazy. Time. I would venture to say maybe the best on the station.
Can I do a deep dive on the maniac aspect?
Maybe, definitely.
I told Don
Dan's
this earlier.
Close. Cross is close.
I told Don this earlier. I didn't tell you. So I was in the car. I had to get my final rabies shot today. So I was in the...
How'd it go?
Hold on.
And Rick and Dave are talking. And Rick is telling Freddie Coleman, who was on as a guest, that Dave took his oldest son, Ben, right? Is his oldest son?
Yes.
Yeah. Ben wants to go to Princeton. So they did a tour of the Princeton campus. And Dave, you know, he got dressed. This is a 50-year-old man, right? You know how he got dressed up to walk around Princeton campus? Put a New York Giant t-shirt on. I mean, at what point do you grow? I love Dave. I really do. But there's issues here. And then there was a Princeton student who sees Dave with his belly hanging out underneath a giant t-shirt and says, playfully goes, go Eagles. You know, Dave says to the student, your mother.
No, he didn't.
Yeah.
That can't be true.
Hey, that's the way Rick told the story, and Dave didn't deny it. Where's the drop, Anthony? Where is it? Here it is.
That's to say it's troubling is an understatement.
Where's the drop, Ant?
Left side, Ian, and audio.
I don't
says
have
Dave
that.
Says your mother.
Oh yeah, here
your
it mother. Is.
Your mother.
That's really.
He said this to could be a 17-year-old college student. And also, if I'm taking my kid to Princeton, if I'm taking Charlie or Callie on a tour of Princeton, I'm probably wearing a sport coat.
Yeah.
I'm not wearing a giant t-shirt.
Show some respect. Have you ever been to Princeton? I mean, first of all, it's an Ivy League school, so it goes without saying. It's one of the most beautiful campuses in the world.
And he's walking around in a giant t-shirt like he's 11.
Ben would be very fortunate to go there.
Right.
And your father's all slovenly saying your mother to people. Like, you know, what if Ben's got a legit chance to go to Princeton and now will not go to Princeton of his father?
It's on the table.
How would he feel? No, honestly, how would he feel if Ben wanted to go to Princeton, was accepted to Princeton, and couldn't go because of that incident?
Your mother.
He wouldn't care.
Ben would care.
I mean, by the way,
Dave wouldn't care.
By the way, this is the same man who was bad-mouthing my wife today.
He bad-mouthed your wife?
That's right.
What'd he say?
How would you describe what he said, Anthony?
Audio on its way.
Audio's on its way.
That sounds like a 5 o'clock.
That's not how I would describe it. But
on a day like this, it's a 5 o'clock.
That's a man who has integrity for the clock.
Yeah, well,
all right, maybe we get back.
What are you doing? Did he even know radio anymore?
Me?
Yeah, you. I'm looking at you.
What did I do?
You're calling for like another story at 4:58.
Perfect. We'll get to it after 5.
Yeah.
Well, we're not leading that about him talking about Natalie.
Why not?
First of all, I will not have anybody have anti-Natalie stuff.
Oh, we have it already right now. You want to hear it now instead?
It's 22 seconds, yeah.
Hey, listen, in fairness to Michael, my best friend, I mean, this is Peter did kind of put it all out there on the holiday greetings or whatever you wanted to call it.
Yeah, she was juggling all over Brazil.
All over
You are.
He put it out there, not me.
We have to like sedate you today.
I wouldn't let my wife juggle like that on Instagram.
She didn't juggle. She jiggled. She didn't juggle.
And there wasn't much jiggling. It was
there was some jiggling.
Because Michael studied this. He knows exactly what
I have
she
a freeze. It's my screen saver.
So just an update if you're following Dave Rothenberg's life.
Yeah.
He doesn't know that men and women kiss on a first date.
Right.
And he wouldn't allow his wife to wear a bikini on Instagram.
And he walked around the Princeton campus like a homeless person.
And when a student said, go Eagles, he said, your mother, to a child. That's what happened.
All right. Think about that, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.